That Sherry Stoddard was found at all was the thing that set people on edge, even more so than the condition of her body. One Saturday in March, fog crept through the river valley and froze overnight. The morning sun crackled over a ghostly landscape across the road from my uncle's general store. The bur oaks that leaned out over the banks of the North Fork River crystallized with a thick crust of hoarfrost. The tree nearest the road was dead, half hollow, and it leaned farther than the rest, balanced at a precarious angle above the water. A trio of vultures roosted in the branches, according to Buddy Snell, a photographer for the Ozark County Record. Buddy snapped pictures of the tree, the stark contrast of black birds on white branches, for lack of anything better to print on the front page of the paper. It was eerie, he said, haunting almost. He moved closer, kneeling at the water's edge to get a more interesting angle. And that was when he spied the long, brown braid drifting in the shallows, barely visible among the stones. Then he saw Sherry's head, snagged on a piece of driftwood, her freckled face, abbreviated nose, eyes spaced too wide to be pretty. Stuffed into the hollow of the tree were the rest of Sherry's pieces, her skin etched with burns and amateur tattoos. Her flesh was unmarked when she disappeared, and I wondered if those new scars could explain what had happened to her, if they formed a cryptic map of the time she'd spent missing. Sherry was 18 when she died. 1 year older than me. We'd lived down the road from each other since grade school, and she'd wander over to my house to play whenever she felt like it, and stayed until my dad made her leave. She especially liked my Barbies because she didn't have any dolls of her own, and we'd spend all day building little houses for them out in the woodpile, making swimming pools with the hose. Her mom never once called or came looking for her. Not even the time I hid her in my closet so she could stay overnight. My dad found out the next morning and started hollering at us. But then he looked at Sherry, tears dripping off her face as she wolfed down the frozen waffles I'd made her. And he shut up and fried us some bacon. He waited until she finished eating and crying before giving her a ride back home. Kids at school, including my best friend Bess, thought Sherry was weird and didn't want to play with her. I knew Sherry was slow, but I didn't realize there was actually something different about her until fourth or fifth grade, when she disappeared into the special ed class for most of the day. Newspaper articles after the murder described her as deficient or developmentally disabled, with a mental capacity of a 10-year-old. We weren't as close in high school. I'd outgrown her in certain ways and spent most of my time with Bess. But we still shared a bus stop at the fork of Toad Holler Road, and she was always there first, sitting on a log under the persimmon trees, smoking cigarettes she'd steal from her mother, and picking at her various scabs. She always offered me a cigarette if she had one to spare. I didn't know how to inhale, and she probably didn't either. But we sat there every morning, elbow to elbow, talking and laughing in a cloud of smoke. One morning I beat Sherry to the bus stop. I got worried when the bus rumbled up the dirt road and she still wasn't there, because her mom always sent her to school, sick or not, if only to get her out of the way. Days passed with no sign of her, so I walked through the woods to her mom's trailer and knocked and knocked, but nobody answered. There were rumors she'd dropped out of school, and when somebody from the county finally went to check it out, Doris Stoddard said her daughter had run away. She hadn't reported her missing because she figured she would come back. Flyers were posted in shop windows around town, and I taped several up at my uncle's store, Dane's, which had been in our family for generations. Above Sherry's picture, in thick black print, was the word runaway. I wasn't convinced that she'd left on her own, but no one shared my concern. In time, the flyers faded and curled, and when they came down, no new ones went up in their place.